Forehead only. Nothing inside the head. I touched her brow. She was burning up with fever. I summoned the power of Frey, and Alex let out a gasp. Instantly, her wound closed. Her skin cooled, her color returned to normal. My hands were hardly glowing at all. Something about being out in the wilderness, surrounded by nature, seemed to make the healing easier. I didn't learn a thing, I promised Alex. You are still a mystery, wrapped in a question mark, wrapped in flannel. She exhaled, making a sound between a laugh and a sigh of relief. Thanks, Magnus. Now maybe we can actually get this fire started? She didn't call me Maggie or Beantown. I chose to take that as a peace offering. Once we had a good blaze going, we tried to figure out the best way to repurpose Fadlan's falafel over an open flame. We learned an important lesson. One cannot make s'mores out of lamb meat and chickpea patties. Mostly, we ate the chocolate from Uncle Randolph's house. Blitz took the better part of the morning, spinning his magic thread on his collapsible travel spindle. Of course he had one of those in his kit bag. Why wouldn't he? Meanwhile, Jack flew up and down the side of the bowling bag, perforating the pattern Blitz wanted him to sew. Alex and I kept watch, but nothing much happened. Sam and Hearthstone didn't appear. No giants eclipsed the sun or destroyed the forest with their untied shoelaces. The most dangerous thing we spotted was a red squirrel in a branch above our campfire. It probably wasn't a threat, but since meeting Ratatosk, I took no chances. I kept an eye on it until it leaped to another tree. In the afternoon, things got more exciting. After we fed Blitz some lunch, he and Jack got to work on the actual stitching. Somehow, perhaps with magic? Blitz had made a whole pile of shimmering red yarn from my hair, Alex Fierro's blood, and threads from his own vest. Blitz tied one end of it to Jack's pommel, and Jack flew back and forth across the side of the bag, diving in and out of the leather like a dolphin, leaving a shimmering trail of stitches. Watching him reminded me of how we'd tied up Fenris Wolf, which was a memory I didn't really care to have. Blitzen called out directions. You're left, Jack! Drop that stitch! Okay, give me a back stitch! Bunny punch me a hole on the end there! Alex nibbled her chocolate bar. Bunny punch? I have no idea, I admitted. Maybe inspired by the sewing display, Alex unthreaded her garrote from her belt loops. She ran the metal wire across the soles of her boots, scraping off icy mud. Why that weapon? I asked. Or you just tell me to shut up again. Alex gave me a sideways smile. You're fine. It started out as my clay cutter. Clay cutter, like the wire you run through a slab of clay. You figured that out all on your own? Ha ha. I'm guessing most clay cutters don't have combat applications. Not so much. She hesitated. Loki visited me one day at the studio. He was trying to impress me, show me how much he could do for me. He taught me an enchantment I could use to make a magical weapon. I didn't want to give him the satisfaction of helping me, so I tried to spell him the stupidest, most innocuous thing I could think of. I didn't figure a wire with dowel handles could ever be a weapon. And yet... Alex pointed to a nearby boulder, a rough chunk of granite about the size of a piano. She lashed out with her garrote, holding one end like a whip. The wire lengthened as it flew, the far end wrapped around the boulder and held fast. Alex yanked it toward her. The top half of the boulder slid off the bottom half with a grinding sound like a lid being removed from a porcelain cookie jar. The wire flew back to Alex's hand. Pretty good. I tried not to let my eyes pop out of their sockets, but doesn't make French fries. Alex muttered something about stupid boys, which I'm sure had nothing to do with me. The afternoon light faded quickly. Over at the bowling bag, Blitz and Jack kept working on their entry in the great Jotunheim sew-off. The shadows got longer. The temperature plunged. I noticed this because Blitz had recently given me a drastic haircut and my exposed neck was cold. I was just grateful there were no mirrors around to show me the horrors Blitz had worked upon my head. Alex threw another tree branch into the fire. You might as well ask. I stirred. Sorry? You want to ask me about Loki? Alex prompted. Why I put his symbol on my pottery, why I have a tattoo. You want to know if I'm working for him? Those questions had been lurking in the back of my mind, but I didn't understand how Alex could know that. I wondered if my healing touch had backfired somehow. Maybe I'd given Alex a look inside my head. I guess it worries me, I admitted. You act as if you don't like Loki. I don't. Then why his symbol? Alex cupped her hands around the back of her neck. That design, the two entwined snakes? It's usually called the Urnis snakes, named after some place in Norway. Anyway, it's not necessarily a symbol of Loki. She laced her fingers and wiggled them around. The snakes signify change and flexibility, being versatile. People started using the snakes to represent Loki, and Loki was fine with that. But I decided, why does Loki get to take over that cool symbol? I like it. I'm making it mine. He doesn't get to own the symbol for change any more than he owns me. To hell him with what people think. I watched the flames break down another piece of wood. A swarm of orange sparks rose from the pit. I remember my dream of Alex's suite, Loki turning into a woman with red hair. I thought about the hesitation in Alex's voice when she talked about Loki as her parent. You're like the eight-legged horse, I realized. Alex frowned. Stanley? No, the original eight-legged horse. What's his name? Sleipnir. Mallory Keene told me the story, something about Loki turning into a beautiful mare so he could lure a giant stallion away. And then, Loki got pregnant. She gave birth to Sleipnir. I glanced at Alex, very aware of the garrote now lying across her thigh. Loki's not your father, is he? He's your mom. Alex just stared at me. I thought, well, here comes the wire. Goodbye, limbs. Goodbye, head. She surprised me with a sour laugh. I think that haircut improved your brain power. I resisted the urge to pat my hacked locks. So I'm right? Yes. She tugged at her glittery pink bootlaces. I wish I could have seen the look on my dad's face when he found out. From what I gather, Loki shapeshifted into the sort of woman my dad liked. My dad was already married, but that never stopped him. He was used to getting what he wanted. He had an affair with this voluptuous redhead. 9 months later, Loki showed up at my dad's doorstep with a little baby as a present. I tried to imagine Loki in his usual dashing form, maybe wearing a green tuxedo, ringing the doorbell of some upscale house in the suburbs. Hi, I was that lady you had a fling with. Here's our kid. How did your mortal mom react? I asked. I mean, your dad's wife. I mean, your stepmother. It's confusing, huh? Alex tossed another stick into the fire. My stepmom wasn't happy about it. I grew up with two parents who resented me and found me embarrassing. Then there was Loki, who kept showing up at random times trying to parent me. Man, I said. Woman today, Alex corrected. No, I mean... I stopped, realizing she was teasing me. What happened? When did you finally leave home? 2 years ago, more or less. As for what happened? A lot. This time I recognized the warning tone in her voice. I was not welcome to ask for more details. Still, Alex had become homeless around the same time my mom died, the same time I'd ended up on the streets. That coincidence didn't sit well with me. Before I could chicken out, I blurted, "Did Loki ask you to come with us?" She locked eyes with me. "What do you mean?" I told her about my dream, her throwing pots at her father, mother, Loki saying, "It's such a simple request." It was fully dark now, though I wasn't sure when that had happened. In the firelight, Alex's face seemed to shift and jump. I tried to tell myself it wasn't the Loki part of her revealing itself. It was just change, flexibility. Those twisting snakes on her neck were completely innocent. "You've got it wrong," Alex said. "He told me not to come." A strange pulsing sound filled in my ears. I realized it was my own heartbeat. Why would Loki tell you that? And what were you and Sam talking about last night? Some plan? She curled her garrote around her hands. Maybe you'll find out, Magnus. And by the way, if you ever spy on me in your dreams again... Guys! Blitzen yelled from Mount Bowling Bag. Come take a look! Chapter 38. You will never, ever guess Blitzen's password. Jack hovered proudly next to his handiwork. Can you have handiwork if you don't have hands? Stitched into the bag's side were several new lines of glowing red runic script. What does it say? Alex asked. Oh, a few technical runes. Blitz's eyes crinkled with satisfaction. Magic nuts and bolts, terms and conditions, the end user agreement. But there at the bottom it says, Empty leather, a bag completed by Blitzen, son of Freya. Jack helped. I wrote that, Jack said proudly. I helped. Good job, buddy, I said. So, does it work? We're about to find out. Blitzen rubbed his hands eagerly. I'm going to speak the secret word of command. Then this bag will either shrink to an easy carrying size, or... Well, I'm sure it will shrink. Rewind to the or, Alex said. What else might happen? Blitzen shrugged. Well, there's a slight chance the bag could expand and cover most of this continent. No. I'm sure I got it right. Jack was very careful about backstitching the runes where I told him to.
I was supposed to backstitch?
Jack glowed yellow.
Just kidding. Yeah, I backstitched.
I wasn't feeling so confident. On the other hand, if the bag expanded to continental size, I wouldn't live long enough to care.
Okay, I said. What's the password?
Don't! Blitzen shrieked. The bowling bag shuddered. The entire forest trembled. The bag collapsed so fast I got nauseated from the change of perspective. The mountain of leather was gone. Sitting at Blitzen's feet was a regular-sized bowling bag.
Yes!
Blitz picked it up and peeked inside.
There's a bowling ball inside, but the bag feels completely empty. Jack, we did it!
They gave each other a high five. Or high just one, since Jack's blade had no fingers. Hold on, Alex said. I mean, good job and all, but did you seriously make the password password?
Don't!
Blitz threw the bowling bag like a grenade into the woods. Instantly, it grew back to the size of a mountain, causing a tidal wave of crushed trees and terrified animals. I almost felt sorry for the untrustworthy squirrels.
I was in a rush, Blitzen huffed. I can reset the word of command later on, but that would take more thread and more time. For now, can you please avoid saying, you know, that word?
He proceeded to say that word. The bag shrank back to small size.
You did great, man, I said. And hey, Jack, nice stitching.
Thanks, senor. I love your sawed-off haircut, too. You don't look like that Nirvana guy anymore. More like, I don't know, Johnny Rotten? Or blonde Joan Jett?
Alex cracked up. How do you even know those people? TJ told me you were at the bottom of a river for 1,000 years.
I was, but I've been studying up.
Alex snickered. Joan Jett.
Just shut up, both of you, I grumbled.
Who's ready to go bowling?
No one was ready to go bowling. Blitzen crawled into a pup tent and collapsed from exhaustion. Then I made the mistake of letting Jack return to pendant form, and I collapsed from exhaustion, feeling like I'd spent all day climbing cliffs. Alex promised to keep watch. At least I think that's what she said. She could have announced, "I'll invite Loki into camp and kill you all in your sleep." Ha 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 ha! And I still would have passed out. I dreamed of nothing except dolphins happily leaping through a sea of leather. I woke as the sky was turning from black to charcoal. I insisted Alex get a few hours of shut-eye. By the time all three of us had gotten up, eaten, and broken camp, the sky was a thick blanket of dirty gray. Almost 24 hours lost. Samira and Hearthstone were still missing. I tried to imagine them safe by the fire in Utgard Loki's home, sharing stories and eating well. Instead, I imagined a bunch of giants by the fire, sharing stories about the tasty mortals they'd eaten the night before.
Stop that, I told my brain.
Also, the wedding is tomorrow, said my brain.
Get out of my head!
My brain refused to get out of my head, inconsiderate brain. We hiked through the ravine, trying to keep to the direction Tiny had indicated. You'd think we could have just followed his footprints, but it was difficult to tell them apart from the natural valleys and canyons. After about an hour, we spotted our destination. On a massive cliff in the distance rose a boxy warehouse-type structure. The inflatable Godzilla was gone. The daily rental for something like that must have been exorbitant. But the neon sign still blazed, Utgard Lanes. The letters flashed one at a time, then all together, then with sparkles around the edges. Just so you didn't miss the only neon sign on the biggest cliff in Jotunheim. We trudged up a winding trail that was perfect for colossal donkeys, but not so much for small mortals. The cold wind pushed us around. My feet ached. Thank goodness for Blitzen's magic bowling bag, because dragging the full-size version up that cliff would have been impossible and also not fun. Once we reached the top, I realized just how big Utgard Lanes really was. The building itself could have housed most of downtown Boston. The maroon-upholstered double doors were studded with brass tacks, each as big as your average three-bedroom house. In the grimy windows glowed neon ads for Jotun Juice, Big Small Ale, and Mega Mead. Tethered to posts outside were colossal riding animals, horses, rams, yaks, and yes, donkeys, each roughly the size of Kilimanjaro.
No need to fear, Blitz muttered to himself. It's just like a dwarven bar, only bigger.
So how do we do this? Alex asked. Direct frontal assault?
Ha ha, I said.
Sam and Hearth might be in there, so we play by the rules. Walk in, ask for guest rights, try to negotiate.
And when that doesn't work, Blitz said, we improvise.
Alex, being all about change and versatility, said,
I hate this idea.
Then she frowned at me. Also, you owe me a drink for dreaming about me. She marched toward the entrance. Blitzen raised his eyebrows.
Do I want to ask?
No, I said. You really don't. Getting past the front doors was no problem. We walked right under them without even having to crouch. Inside was the largest, most crowded bowling alley I'd ever seen. To the left, 20 or 30 Statue of Liberty-sized giants lined the bar, sitting on stools that would have made fine high-rise condominiums. The giants were dressed in neon-colored bowling shirts they must have stolen from a disco-era Salvation Army. Around their waists hung an assortment of knives, axes, and spiked clubs. They laughed and insulted each other, and threw back mugs of mead that each could have watered all the crops in California for a year. It seemed a little early in the morning for mead, but for all I knew, these guys have been partying since 1999. That was the song blasting from the overhead speakers, anyway. To our right stood an arcade where more giants played pinball and Ms. Very Large Pac-Man. In the back of the room, about as far away as, oh, Boston is from New Hampshire, still more giants gathered at the bowling lanes in groups of four or five with matching day-glow outfits and suede bowling shoes. A banner across the back wall read, Utgard Bowling Ultimate Tournament. Welcome, UBUT contestants. One of the giants threw a ball. Thunder boomed as it rolled down the lane. The floor vibrated, shaking me up and down like a wind-up hoppy toy. I scanned the place for Tiny in his gray turkey bowler shirt. I couldn't spot him. Tiny should have been easy to see, but from our vantage point on the floor, there were just too many other enormous obstacles in the way. Then the crowd shifted. Across the room, looking right at me, was a giant I wanted to see even less than Tiny. He sat in a tall leather chair on a dais overlooking the lanes like he was the referee or the MC. His bowling shirt was made of eagle feathers. His slacks were brown polyester. His iron-shod boots looked like they'd been made from recycled World War II destroyers. Clasped around his forearm was a Thane's gold ring studded with bloodstones. His face was angular and handsome in a cruel sort of way. Straight, coal-black hair swept his shoulders. His eyes glittered with amusement and malice. He definitely would have made the list for 10 most attractive murderers of Jotunheim. He was about 90 feet taller than the last time I'd seen him, but I recognized him. Big boy, I said. I'm not sure how he heard my pipsqueak voice through all the chaos, but he nodded in acknowledgement.
Magnus Chase, he called out. So glad you could make it.
The music died. At the bar, giants turned to look at us. Big boy raised his fist as if offering me a microphone. Clasped in his fingers, like G.I. Joe figures, were Samira and Hearthstone. Chapter 39. Elvis has left the bowling bag.
We claim guest rights, I yelled. Utgard Loki, let our friends go.
I thought that was pretty brave of me, considering we were facing a heavily armed, badly dressed Statue of Liberty convention. The assembled giants laughed. At the bar, one yelled,
What did you say? Speak up!
I said,
the bartender turned 1999 back on and drowned me out. The giants howled with glee. I frowned at Blitzen. You told me Taylor Swift songs were dwarf music. Does this mean that Prince was a giant?
Eh?
Blitzen kept his eyes locked on Hearthstone, who was still trapped and struggling in Utgard Loki's fist.
No, kid. This just means that giants have good taste in music. You think Jack could cut our friends out of the giant's hand?
Before Utgard Loki crushes them?
Unlikely.
Alex wrapped her garrote around her hand, though I didn't see what good it would do unless she intended to give the giants a good flossing.
What's the plan?
I'm working on it. Finally, Utgard Loki made a cut-it gesture with his finger across his throat. Not my favorite gesture. The music shut off again. The giants settled down.
Magnus Chase, we've been expecting you,
Utgard Loki grinned.
As for your friends, they're not captives. I was merely lifting them up so they could see that you've arrived. I'm sure they are delighted.
Sam did not look delighted. She twisted her shoulders, trying to break free. Her expression suggested she wanted to kill everyone wearing a bowling shirt and perhaps several people who were not. As for Hearth, I knew how much he hated having his hands pinned down. He couldn't communicate, couldn't do magic. The cold fury in his eyes reminded me of his father, Mr. Alderman, and that was not a similarity I enjoyed seeing. "Put them down now," I said, "if they're really not captives."
"As you wish."
Utgard Loki set Sam and Hearth on the table, where they stood about as tall as the giant's mead cup.
"We've made them quite comfortable while we waited for you to arrive. Tiny mentioned that you would bring his bowling bag no later than this morning. I was beginning to think you wouldn't make it."
The way he phrased that made it seem like this was a hostage exchange. A cold, heavy feeling settled in my gut. I wondered what would have happened to Sam and Hearth if we'd failed to show up with the bag. We'd kept them waiting, trapped here for 24 hours, probably wondering if we were even still alive. "We've got the bag," I said. "No worries." I nudged Blitzen.
"Right."
Blitz stepped forward and raised his creation.
"Behold, empty leather, soon to be famous among bowling bags, completed by Blitzen of Freya, and Jack helped."
Our old friend Tiny muscled his way through the crowd. Mead stains speckled his gray shirt. His grizzled man bun had unraveled. Just like he'd warned us, compared to the other giants in the room, he actually did look tiny.
"What did you do to my bag?" he cried. "Did you wash it on regular cycle? It's minuscule."
"Like you,"
another giant cat called.
"Shut up, Hugo,"
Tiny yelled.
"Not to fear,"
Blitzen promised, his voice demonstrating what fear sounded like. "I can return the bag to its normal size, but first, I want assurances from your king that we have guest rights. The three of us and our two friends on the table."
Utgard Loki chuckled.
"Well, Tiny, it seems like they did what you asked. They brought your bag."
Tiny gestured helplessly to his new extra-small carry case.
"But..."
"Tiny,"
the king said, his tone hardening. Tiny glared at us. He did not look quite so easygoing now.
"Yes," he said through gritted teeth. "They have kept their part of the bargain. I vouch for them. In a very, very small way." "There you have it,"
Utgard Loki beamed.
"You are all officially guests in my bowling alley."
He plucked up Sam and Hearth and set them on the floor. Thankfully, the Skofnung sword and stone were still strapped across Sam's back. The king turned to address the assembled giants.
"My friends, if we entertain these guests in our present size, we'll get eye strain trying to avoid stepping on them. We'll have to serve them food with tweezers and fill their tiny drinking glasses with eyedroppers. That's no fun. Let's take this party down a few notches, eh?"
The giants grumbled and muttered, but nobody seemed anxious to contradict the king. Utgard Loki snapped his fingers. The room spun. My stomach churned from disorientation. The bowling alley shrank from colossal to merely huge. The giants now averaged about 7 feet tall. I could look at them without craning my neck or peering up their cavernous nostrils. Samira and Hearthstone hurried over to join us. "You okay?" Blitz signed to Hearth. "Where were you?" Hearth asked. Samira gave me a pained, "I will kill you later" smile. "I thought you were dead. Also, what happened to your hair?"
"Long story," I told her.
"Yeah, sorry we're late," Alex said. Her apology surprised me more than anything so far today.
"What did we miss?"
Sam stared at her like, "If I told you, you wouldn't believe me." I couldn't imagine that her story was any weirder than ours. But before we could compare notes, Tiny stumbled toward Blitzen. The giant grabbed his bowling bag, which was now just about the right size for him. He zipped it open and breathed a sigh of relief.
"Thank goodness. Elvis!"
He pulled out his bowling ball and examined it for damage. Airbrushed across the surface was a 1970s Elvis Presley in his white rhinestone jumpsuit.
"Oh, did they hurt you, baby?"
Tiny kissed the ball and hugged it to his chest. He scowled at Blitzen.
"You're lucky you didn't harm Elvis, little dwarf."
"I have no interest in harming Elvis."
Blitzen swiped the now empty bag out of Tiny's hands. "But I'm keeping empty leather for insurance. You can have it back when we leave here unharmed. If you try anything, I should warn you. The bag only changes sizes with the word of command, and you'll never guess it on your own."
"What?" Tiny shrieked. "Is it Presley?"
"No."
"Is it Graceland?"
"No."
"Friends, friends!"
Utgard Loki walked toward us with his arms extended.
"This is tournament day. We have special guests. Let's not quibble. Let us feast and compete. Start the music. Drinks for everyone.
Little Red Corvette blasted over the speakers. Most of the giants dispersed, going back to their mead swilling or their bowling or their Ms. Not-Quite-So-Large Pac-Man. Some of the Jotuns, especially those in gray shirts like Tiny's, looked like they wanted to kill us, guest rights or no. But it took comfort in knowing we had a doomsday option. If worst came to worst, we could always shout password and destroy the entire building in an avalanche of fine dwarven-embroidered leather. Utgard Loki patted Tiny on the back.
That's right. Go have a Jotun juice.
Tiny cradled Elvis and headed for the bar, glowering at us over his shoulder.
Utgard Loki, I said, we need information.
Not now, you idiot.
He maintained his grin, but his tone was a desperate snarl.
Look happy. Look like we're just joking around.
What?
Good one, shouted the Giant King. Ha ha ha!
My friends tried to get into the act.
Yeah, ha ha, Sam said. Blitzen let out a good dwarvish belly laugh.
Hilarious,
Alex volunteered. H-A-H-A, Hearth signed. Utgard Loki kept smiling at me, but his eyes were as sharp as daggers.
No giant here wants to help you except me, he said under his breath. If you don't prove yourself worthy, you'll never leave this bowling alley alive.
What? Blitzen hissed. You promised guest rights. You're the king.
And I've used every last bit of my influence and credibility trying to help you. Otherwise you wouldn't have made it this far alive.
Help us, I said. By killing our goat?
And infiltrating Valhalla, Sam added, and possessing an innocent flight instructor?
All to dissuade you bungling mortals from falling into Loki's trap, which so far you've managed to do anyway.
He turned his head and shouted for the onlookers.
Well boasted, little mortal, but you will never beat the giants.
He lowered his voice again.
Not everyone here thinks Loki needs to be stopped. I'll tell you what you need to know to thwart him, but you'll have to play along. If you don't prove your worth and earn the respect of my followers, I'll be ousted, and one of these morons will become the new king. Then we're all dead.
Alex scanned the crowd as if trying to decide which moron to garrot first.
Look, your feathery majesty, you could have just sent us this important information in a text or a phone call days ago. Why all the cloak and dagger and the inflatable Godzilla?
Utgard Loki wrinkled his nose at her.
I could not text you, child of Loki, for several reasons. First and foremost, because your father has ways of finding things out. Wouldn't you agree?
Alex's face mottled red, but she said nothing.
Now, the king continued, join the feast. I'll show you to your table.
And after that, I asked, how do we prove our worth?
Utgard Loki's eyes gleamed in a way I definitely didn't like.
You entertain us with impressive feats. You best us in competition, or you die trying.
Chapter 40. Little Billy totally deserved it. The bowling alley breakfast of champions. Peanuts, lukewarm hot dogs, and stale corn chips drizzled in orange goop that bore no resemblance to cheese. The mead was flat and tasted of sweet and low. On the bright side, the portions were giant size. I hadn't eaten much since yesterday except for leftover falafel and chocolate. I courageously managed to eat. At each bowling lane, giants sat grouped by team, throwing food, cracking jokes, and boasting about their pin-destroying prowess. Sam, Hearthstone, Blitz, Alex, and I sat together on a wraparound plastic bench, picking through our food for the most edible bits and nervously surveying the crowd. Utgard Loki had insisted we trade our regular footwear for bowling shoes, all of which were too big and day-glow orange and pink. When Blitzen saw his, I thought he was going to go into anaphylactic shock. Alex, however, seemed to like them. At least we didn't have to wear matching team shirts. While we ate, we told Sam and Hearth what had happened to us in the woods. Sam shook her head in disgust.
Magnus, you always get the easy stuff.
I almost choked on a peanut.
Easy?
Hearth and I have been here for a day trying to stay alive. We've almost died 6 times. Hearth held up 7 fingers.
Oh, right, Sam said. The thing with the toilets.
Blitzen tucked his feet under the bench. No doubt to avoid looking at his hideous shoes.
Then the giants give you guest rights?
That was the first thing we asked for, Sam said. But these mountain Jotuns, they'll try to twist your words and kill you with kindness.
Like those sisters we met in January, I said. The ones who offered to raise our seat to table height and then tried to smash us against the ceiling in it. Sam nodded. Yesterday, I asked for a drink. The bartender dropped me in a full beer mug. First, I'm Muslim. I don't drink alcohol. Second, the sides were so slippery I couldn't get out. If Harth hadn't cracked the glass with a rune...
Had to watch everything we said, Harth signed. I asked for a place to sleep.
He shuddered.
Almost mangled to death in ball return machine.
Sam translated for Alex's sake.
Ouch, Alex winced. No wonder you guys look so bad.
No offense.
That's not the worst of it, Sam said. Trying to do my prayers with Hearthstone keeping guard? Impossible. And the giants kept challenging us to rigged feats of skill.
Illusions, Hearthstone signed, circling his palms at us simultaneously to represent two shifting images. Nothing here is what it seems.
Yep, Blitz nodded gravely. Same with Tiny and his bowling bag. Utgard Loki and his people are infamous for their powers of illusion.
I glanced around, wondering how big the giants actually were and what they looked like without magic. Maybe the hideous bowling outfits were mirages meant to disorient us.
So how do you know what's an illusion and what's real?
Most importantly, Alex held up a tortilla chip soggy with orange goo. Can I pretend this is really a burrito from Anna's Taqueria?
We have to stay sharp, Sam warned. Last night, after we phrased the request very carefully, they finally gave us sleeping bags. But we had to prove our strength by spreading them out ourselves. We tried for about an hour. The bags wouldn't budge. Utgard Loki finally admitted they were made from curled shavings of titanium. The giants had a good laugh about that.
I shook my head. How is that even funny?
Harth signed,
Tell about the cat.
Ugh, Sam agreed. Then there was the cat. As a favor before we got dinner, we were supposed to pick up Utgard Loki's cat and put it outside.
I glanced around, but I saw no cat.
It's around here somewhere, Sam assured me. Except we couldn't move it because the cat was actually a 13,000-pound African bush elephant. We weren't even aware until the giants told us later, after we tried for hours and missed dinner. They love to humiliate their guests by making them feel weak and puny.
It's working, Blitz muttered.
I imagine trying to pick up an elephant and not realizing it was an elephant. That was usually the sort of thing I would notice.
How do we combat something like that? I asked.
We're supposed to impress them in a bunch of contests? Sorry, there's not much I can do with titanium sleeping bags and African bush elephants.
Sam leaned across the table. Whatever you think is going on, just remember it's a ruse. Think outside the box. Do something unexpected. Break the rules.
Oh, Alex said. You mean like every other day in my life?
Then your experience should come in handy, Sam said. Also, that stuff Utgard Loki told us about trying to help? I don't believe a word.
Hello, guests.
For a big guy in a feather bowling shirt, the giant king was stealthy. Utgard Loki leaned over the railing behind our table, peering down at us, a corn dog in his hand.
We only have a minute or so, then the games must begin.
The games, Sam said. Like the ones we've been playing since yesterday?
Utgard Loki's eyes matched his eagle feather shirt. He had that bird of prey gaze, like he was about to swoop down and grab a rodent, or perhaps a small human for dinner.
Now, Samira, you have to understand. My liegemen are already upset that I invited you here. You must be good sports. Provide entertainment. Give us a great show. Prove that you're worthy. Don't expect any kindness from me during the contests. My men will turn on me if I show any preferential treatment.
So you're not much of a king, then, I noted.
Utgard Loki sneered. For the benefit of his followers, he shouted,
Is that all you can eat, puny mortals? We have toddlers who can consume more nachos.
He pointed his corndog royal scepter at me and lowered his voice.
You know very little of leading, Magnus Chase. Kingship requires the right combination of iron and mead, fear and generosity. As great as I am at wielding magic, I cannot simply force my will upon my giants. They will always outnumber me. I must earn their respect every day. Now you must as well.
Alex leaned away from the king. If it's so dangerous for you, why would you help us get back Mjolnir?
I care nothing about Thor's hammer one way or the other. The Aesir have always relied too much on the fear it inspires. It is a mighty weapon, yes, but when Ragnarok comes, Thor will be outnumbered. The gods will die anyway.
The hammer is a bluff, an illusion of overwhelming force. And believe a master sorcerer, the giant grinned, even the best illusions have their limits. What I care about is not the hammer. I want to stop Loki's plan. Blitzen scratched his beard. To marry Sam and Thrym? You fear that alliance? Utgard Loki went into acting mode again, shouting for his audience.
Bah! These are the mightiest corn dogs in Jotunheim! None are their equal!
He took a savage bite, then threw the empty stick over his shoulder.
Blitzen, son of Freya, use your head. Of course I fear an alliance. That ugly toad Thrym and his sister Thringa would love to lead Jotunheim into war.
With a marriage alliance to Loki, and the hammer of Thor in his possession, Thrym would become Thane of Thanes. Sam's eyes narrowed. With Thor's hammer in his possession? You mean, even if I went through with this wedding, which I won't, Thrym wouldn't give back Mjolnir?
Oh, wedding gifts will be exchanged, but perhaps not in the way you imagine.
Utgard Loki reached over and flicked the pommel of the Skofnung sword still slung across Sam's back.
Come, come, my friends. Before I can give you a solution, you must understand the problem. Do you truly not see Loki's goal?
From across the room, one of the giants bellowed,
Our king, what of the contest? Why are you flirting with those mortals?
More giants laughed and wolf whistled at us. Utgard Loki stood tall, grinning at his subjects as if this was all good fun.
Yes, of course. Ladies and Jotunmen, let us begin the entertainment.
He leered down at us.
Honored guests, with what amazing skills will you impress us?
All the giants turned toward us, obviously anxious to hear what manner of embarrassing failure we would choose. My chief talents were running away and eating falafel, but after a heavy meal of hot dogs and chemically engineered nachos, I doubted I could win a gold medal in either of those categories.
Don't be shy, Utgard Loki spread his arms. Who wants to go first? We want to see what you champions of the mortal realms can do. Will you outdrink us? Outrace us? Outwrestle us?
Samira stood. I said a silent prayer of thanks for fearless Valkyries. Even when I was a regular mortal student, I hated going first. The teacher always promised to go easier on the first volunteer or give extra credit. No thanks. It wasn't worth the extra anxiety. Sam took a deep breath and faced the crowd. I am handy with the axe, she said. Who would challenge me at axe throwing? The giants cheered and catcalled.
Well now, Utgard Loki looked delighted. That's a very small axe you have, Samira Alabas, but I'm sure you throw it with skill. Normally, I would name Bjorn Cleaveskull as our champion axe thrower, but I don't want you to feel too outmatched. How about you compete against Little Billy instead?
From a knot of giants at the far end of the alley, a curly-haired kid giant stood. He looked about 10 years old, his pudgy belly stuffed in a Where's Waldo striped shirt, yellow suspenders holding up his schoolboy knickers. He was also severely cross-eyed. As he walked toward us, he kept running into tables and tripping over bowling bags, much to the amusement of the other giants.
Billy is just learning to throw, Utgard Loki said. But he should be a good match for you.
Samira clenched her jaw. Fine, where are the targets? Utgard Loki snapped his fingers. At the far end of lanes 1 and 3, slots opened in the floor and flat wooden figures shot up, each painted with the likeness of Thor, with his wild red hair and flowing beard, and his face scrunched up the way he looked mid-fart.
3 throws each, Utgard Loki announced. Samira, would you like to begin?
Oh no, she said. Children first. Little Billy waddled toward the foul line. Next to him, another giant set down a leather bundle and opened it to reveal 3 tomahawks, each one almost as large as Billy. Billy struggled to lift the first axe. He squinted at the distant target. I had time to think, maybe Sam will be okay. Maybe Utgard Loki is going easy on her after all. Then, Billy burst into action. He tossed 1 axe after another, so fast I could barely follow his movements. When he was done, 1 hatchet was embedded in Thor's forehead, another in his chest, and a 3rd in the Thunder God's mighty crotch. The giants cheered.
Not bad, Utgard Loki said. Now let us see if Samira, Pride of the Valkyries, can defeat a cross-eyed 10-year-old.
Next to me, Alex muttered, She's doomed.
Do we step in? Blitz worried.
Sam told us to think outside the box. I remembered her advice. Do something unexpected. I clasped my fingers around my pendant.
I wondered if I should jump out of my seat, summon Jack, and cause a distraction by singing a duet of Love Never Felt So Good. Hearthstone saved me from that embarrassment by raising his fingers. Wait. Sam studied her opponent, Little Billy. She stared at the axes he planted in his target. Then she seemed to come to a conclusion. She stepped up to the foul line and raised her axe. The room went respectfully quiet. Or maybe our hosts were just taking a deep breath so they could laugh really hard when Sam failed. In one fluid movement, Sam turned and threw her axe right at Billy. The giants gasped. Little Billy's eyes went even more cross-eyed as he stared at the hatchet now sprouting from his forehead. He fell backward and crashed to the floor. The giants roared in outrage. Some rose and drew their weapons.
Hold! Utgard Loki bellowed. He glared at Sam. Explain yourself, Valkyrie. Why should we not kill you for what you just did?
Because, Sam said, it was the only way to win this contest. She sounded remarkably calm, considering what she'd done, and considering the number of giants now ready to rip her apart. She pointed at the corpse of Little Billy. This is no giant child. She announced it with all the authority of a TV detective. But I could see a bead of sweat trickling down from under the edge of her hijab. I could almost hear her thinking, please let me be right, please let me be right. The crowd of giants stared at the corpse of Little Billy. He continued to look like a dead, badly dressed giant child. I knew that at any moment the mob would charge Samira and we'd all have to flee for our lives. Then, slowly, the boy giant's form began to change. His flesh withered until he looked like one of Prince Galeer's Draugr. His leathery lips curled over his teeth. Yellow film covered his eyes. His fingernails lengthened into dirty scythes. Little zombie Billy struggled to his feet and pulled the axe out of his forehead. He hissed at Sam. A wave of pure terror swept through the room. Some giants dropped their drinks. Others fell to their knees and wept. My intestines tied themselves into a granny knot. Yes, Sam announced, her voice much smaller. As you can see, this is not Little Billy. This is fear, which strikes quickly and always hits its mark. The only way to conquer fear is to attack it head on. That's what I did. That's why I win the contest. Fear threw down Sam's axe in disgust. With one final terrifying hiss, he dissolved into white smoke and was gone. A collective sigh of relief spread through the room. Several giants hastened to the restrooms, probably to throw up or change their underpants. I whispered to Blitzen, how the heck did Sam know? How could that thing be fear? Blitzen's own eyes looked a bit jaundiced. I suppose she's met fear before. I've heard rumors that giants are on good terms with a lot of minor deities. Anger, hunger, disease. Supposedly, old age used to bowl with the Utgard Ultimates, though not well. But I never thought I'd meet fear in person. Alex shuddered. Hearthstone looked grim, but not surprised. I wondered if he and Sam had encountered other minor deities during their 24-hour ordeal. I was glad Sam had gone first and not me. With my luck, I would have been pitted against happiness and I would have had to whack it with my sword until it stopped smiling. Utgard Loki turned to Sam with a tiny glint of admiration in his eyes.
I suppose we will not kill you then, Samira Alabas. Since you did what was necessary to win, this round goes to you.
Sam's shoulders sagged with relief. Then we have proven ourselves? The contest is over?
Oh, not yet, the king's eyes widened. What about our four other guests? We must see if they are as skilled as you.
Chapter 41. When in doubt, turn into a biting insect. I was starting to hate the Utgard Bowling Ultimate Tournament. Hearthstone went next. He gestured to the arcade and, with me translating, challenged the giants to bring forth their highest scorer at any game of the contestants' choosing. Hugo's Jotun Jammers team nominated a guy named Kyle, who marched over to the skee-ball lane and scored a perfect 1,000 points. While the giants cheered, Hearthstone walked to the Starsky and Hutch pinball machine and put a red-gold coin in the slot.
Wait, Hugo protested. That's not even the same game.
It doesn't have to be, I said. Hearth said any game of the contestants' choosing, plural. Your guy chose skee-ball, Hearth chooses pinball. The giants grumbled, but in the end they relented. Blitzen grinned at me. You're in for a treat, kid. Hearth is a wizard. I know that. No, I mean a pinball wizard. Hearthstone fired up the first ball. I didn't see him use any magic, but he quickly destroyed Kyle's score, which, granted, wasn't fair, since pinball scores go way higher than 1,000 points. Even after he'd passed 500 million, Hearth kept playing. He nudged the machine and hit the flippers with such intensity, I wondered if he was thinking of his father and all those coins he'd made Hearth collect for good deeds. On this machine, Hearth quickly became a make-believe billionaire.
Enough! Utgard Loki yelled, pulling the plug on the machine. You've proved your skill. I think we can all agree that this deaf elf sure plays a mean pinball. Who's next?
Blitzen challenged the giants to a complete makeover. He promised he could turn any giant into someone more dashing and fashionable. The giants unanimously elected a Jotun named Grum, who had apparently been sleeping under the bar and collecting grime and lint there for the past 40 years. I was pretty sure he was the minor deity, Bad Hygiene. Blitzen was not deterred. He whipped out his sewing implements and got to work. It took him a few hours to slap together new clothes from odds and ends in the bowling alley's gift shop. Then he took Grum into the bathroom for a proper spa treatment. When they emerged, Grum's eyebrows had been waxed. His beard and hair were trimmed neater than the most metrosexual hipsters. He wore a shimmery gold bowling shirt with Grum stitched across the front, along with silvery pants and matching bowling shoes. The giant ladies swooned. The giant dudes edged away from him, intimidated by his star power. Grum crawled back under the bar and started to snore.
I can't fix bad habits, Blitz said, but you saw him.
Did I beat the challenge or what?
There was a lot of muttering, but no one dared to argue. Even magically enhanced ugliness was no match for a dwarven degree in fashion design. Utgard Loki leaned toward me and murmured,
You're doing very well. I'll have to make this last challenge really hard so you have a high chance of dying. That should solidify my liegemen's respect.
Wait, what?
The helpful king raised his hands to the crowd.
Ladies and Jotunmen, truly we have some interesting guests, but never fear, we will have our revenge. Two guests remain. As fate would have it, that's the perfect number for a doubles bowling challenge. Since bowling is the reason we are here today, let's have our last two visitors face off against our defending champions from Tiny's Turkey Bowlers.
The giants hollered and whooped. Tiny looked over at me and made the finger across the throat sign, which I was getting really tired of seeing.
The winners will take the usual prize, Utgard Loki announced, which is, of course, the losers' heads.
I glanced at Alex Fierro and realized we were now a team.
I suppose this is a bad time to tell you, Alex said. I've never bowled.
Our opponents from Tiny's Turkey Bowlers were brothers with the delightful names of Herg and Blurg. It was difficult to tell them apart. In addition to being identical twins, they wore matching gray shirts and football helmets, the latter probably to keep us from throwing axes at their faces. The only differences I could see were their bowling balls. Herg's was airbrushed with the face of Prince. Maybe he had provided the bar's playlist. His brother Blurg had a red ball with Kurt Cobain's face on it. Blurg kept looking back and forth between me and the ball like he was trying to imagine me without the choppy haircut.
All right, my friends, Utgard Loki announced. We'll be playing an abbreviated game of 3 frames.
Alex leaned toward me.
What's a frame?
Shh, I told her. In fact, I was trying to remember the rules of bowling. It had been years since I'd played. There was an alley in Hotel Valhalla, but since the Inheriar did most everything to the death, I hadn't been anxious to check it out.
A very simple contest, Utgard Loki continued. Highest score wins. First team up, the insignificant mortals.
Nobody cheered as Alex and I walked to our ball return.
What do you think? Alex whispered.
Basically, I said, you're supposed to roll the ball down the lane and knock over the pins. She glared at me, her pale eye twice as bright and angry as her dark one.
I know that much, but we're supposed to break the rules, right? What's the illusion here? You think Herg and Blurg are minor gods?
I glanced back at Sam, Blitz, and Hearth, who'd been forced to watch from behind the railing. Their expressions told me nothing I didn't already know. We were in serious trouble. I wrapped my fingers around my pendant and thought, Hey, Jack, any advice?
Jack hummed sleepily, as he tends to do in pendant form.
No.
Thanks, I thought.
Huge assist from the magic sword.
Insignificant mortals, Utgard Loki called. Is there a problem? Do you wish to forfeit?
No, I said. No, we're good.
I took a deep breath. Okay, Alex, we've got 3 frames, 3 rounds of play. Let's just see how the first frame goes. Maybe it'll give us some ideas. Watch how I bowl. That's a statement I never thought I would utter. Bowling was not one of my superpowers. Nevertheless, I stepped into the approach with my pink, fuzzy dice-themed bowling ball. Hey, it was the only one that fit my fingers. I tried to remember the pointers my shop teacher, Mr. Gent, had given us when we had our middle school orientation party at the Lucky Strike Lanes. I reached the line, aimed, and threw with all my inherent might. The ball rolled slowly, sluggishly, and stopped halfway down the lane. The Giants howled with laughter. I retrieved the ball and walked back, my face burning. As I passed Alex, she grumbled, "Thanks, that was very instructive." I returned to my seat. Behind the railing, Sam looked grim. Hearthstone signed his most helpful advice, "Do better." Blitzen grinned and gave me two thumbs up, which made me wonder if he understood the rules of bowling. Alex came to the line. She did a granny roll, hefting the ball between her legs and chucking it down the lane. The dark blue sphere bounced once, twice, then rolled a little farther than mine had before toppling into the gutter. More laughter from the Jotun crowd. A few high-fived each other. Gold coins exchanged hands.
"Time for the turkey bowlers," Utgard Loki shouted. A roar of applause as Hurig stepped to the next lane over.
"Hold up," I said. "Aren't they supposed to use the same lane as us?" Tiny pushed through the crowd, his eyes wide with mock innocence.
"Oh, but the king didn't say anything about that. He just said highest score wins. Go ahead, boys."
Hurig threw Prince's head. It rolled straight down the middle at lightning speed and crashed into the pins with a sound like an exploding marimba. Giants cheered and pumped their fists. Hurig turned, grinning behind the face mask of his helmet. He patted Blurg on the shoulder and they exchanged a few words. "I need to figure out what they're saying," Alex said. "I'll be back." "But..."
"I need to pee!" Alex yelled.
Some of the Giants frowned at this interruption, but generally when someone yells, "I need to pee!" in a crowd, people let them go pee. The other options are not great. Alex disappeared into the little Giant girls' room. Meanwhile, Blurg came to the approach. He hefted his Kurt Cobain ball and rolled it down the lane, Cobain's face flashing in and out of sight, saying, "Hello, hello, hello," until it crashed into the pins and sent them flying with lots of rocker spirit.
"Another strike!" Tiny yelled.
Cheering and mead drinking all around, except among me and my friends. Blurg and Hurig rendezvoused at the ball return, snickering and glancing in my direction. While the crowd was still celebrating and making new bets, Alex returned from the restroom.
"I have finished peeing," she announced.
She hurried over and grabbed my arm. "I just heard Hurig and Blurg talking," she whispered.
"How?"
"I eavesdropped. I do this thing where I turn into a horsefly."
"Oh."
I glanced at Sam, who was frowning severely. "I'm familiar with the horsefly thing." "Their lane is a normal bowling lane," Alex reported. "But ours? I don't know. I heard Hurig say, 'Good luck to them hitting the White Mountains.'" "The White Mountains," I repeated. "In New Hampshire?" Alex shrugged. "Unless they have White Mountains in Jotunheim, too. Either way, those aren't bowling pins." I squinted at the end of our lane, but the pins still looked like pins, not mountains. Then again, Little Billy hadn't looked like fear. Until he did. I shook my head. "How is it possible?"
"No clue," Alex said.
"But if our bowling balls are rolling toward a mountain range on a different world, we'll never reach the end of the lane. We definitely won't be able to knock down any pins. How do we undo the hex?"
"Come on, insignificant mortals," Tiny yelled. "Stop stalling."
It was hard to think with a crowd of Giants yelling at me.
I'm not sure, I told Alex. I need more time. Right now, the best thing I could think of is to sabotage their lane.
It was impulsive, I'll admit, but I charged the foul line and threw my pink dice bowling ball overhand with all my strength straight into Hergenberg's lane. The ball landed with such force, it cracked the hardwood floor, ricocheted backward into the crowd, and felled one of the spectators, who squawked like a startled chicken.
"Oh!"
the onlookers yelled.
"What was that?"
Tiny bellowed.
"You brained Eustace!"
Utgard Loki scowled and rose from his throne.
"Tiny is right, mortal. You can't cross bowl. Once you've chosen a lane, you must stick to it."
"Nobody said that," I protested.
"Well, I'm saying it now. Continue the frame."
A Giant in the audience rolled my dice ball back to me. I looked at Alex, but I had no advice to offer her. How do you bowl when your target is a distant mountain range? Alex muttered something under her breath. As she made her approach, She changed into a full-size grizzly bear. She waddled on her back legs, the bowling ball clutched in her front paws. She reached the foul line and came down on all fours, hurling the ball forward with 300 pounds of pure force. The ball almost made it to the first pin before stalling. A collective sigh of relief went up from the Giants.
"Now it's our turn," Tiny rubbed his palms eagerly. "Go on, boys."
"But boss," Herg said, "our lane has a big dent in it."
"Just move over, lane," Tiny said.
"Oh no," I said. "You heard the king. Once you've chosen a lane, you must stick to it."
Tiny growled. Even the Elvis tattoo in his arm looked angry.
"Fine. Herg, Blurg, just do your best. You already have an unbeatable lead."
Herg and Blurg didn't look happy, but they bowled their second frame. They managed to avoid the dent in the lane, but both of them rolled gutter balls, adding no points to their score.
"That's all right," Tiny assured them.
He sneered at Alex and me.
"I was tempted to step on you two in the forest, but now I'm glad I didn't. Unless you bowl a perfect last frame, you can't even tie their score. Let's see what you've got, mortals. I can't wait to cut off your heads."
Chapter 42. Or you could just glow a lot. That works too. Some people like energy drinks. Me? I find that the threat of imminent beheading wakes me up just fine. Panicked, I looked back at my friends. Hearthstone signed F-R-E-Y. Yes, Hearth, I thought. He is my father. But how that helped me, I wasn't sure. It wasn't like the god of summer was going to appear in a blaze of glory and knock down the White Mountains for me. He was the god of the outdoors. He wouldn't be caught dead in a bowling alley. An idea started trickling through my brain like maple syrup. Outdoors. The White Mountains. Frey's power. Sumabrander, Frey's sword, which could cut openings between the worlds. And something Utgard Loki had said earlier. Even the best illusions have their limits.
"Insignificant mortals," Utgard Loki called. "Do you forfeit?"
"No," I yelled. "Just a second."
"Do you need to pee?"
"No, I need to confer with my teammate before we are brutally decapitated."
Utgard Loki shrugged.
"That seems fair. Proceed."
Alex leaned in. "Please tell me you have an idea. You said you've been to Bridal Veil Falls. You've gone camping in the White Mountains a lot?"
"Yeah, sure."
"Is there any way those bowling pins could actually be the White Mountains?" She frowned.